I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Here's Arrowhead Pride lead film and draft analyst Ken Swanson
with the Bad Guy Report.
At Kent_Swanson on Twitter, arrowheadpride.com. Great stuff. Went to the Senior Bowl, broke down every single play of Patrick Mahomes this year, and now he's grading players for the draft. All right, Kent. I always ask you, fellas, what are you up to now? I think you were at 150 the last time I asked. I think I was talking to Craig.
I think we're over 185 at this point, Bink.
Would you
so we're
that?
Really close to 200. We might wind up over 200 by the weekend.
Oh, my God.
We got a four-man team kind of working this thing right now. So we're trying to get through, you know, I guess like 350 to 400 is probably our range. So, you know, we're well on our way, and got some announcements coming here in the next week or two about what's going on with that content and what's going on with all those grades. So we're working on it.
I absolutely can't wait. This week I took to the webpage and put out some of my favorite corners, safeties, and today was tight ends. Let's go back to corners that I put out here, Kent, before we switch over to the offensive side. For tight ends, Greedy Williams, I have him as my top, but I know the Chiefs not going to have a chance at him. Even though I don't feel the corners will be taken until 15 to 20 in the draft, I think that's where the run starts on corners. No chance at Greedy Williams. Agree or disagree?
You know what, Bink? If you had talked to me in September, I would have agreed. But if the Chiefs do want to make a move for Greedy Williams, I think they could climb up there to that 20-ish range. It wouldn't take that much draft capital for them to move up into the, you know, to the early 20s or the late teens. So, you know, that guy, if the run holds off and the run doesn't happen for a while, Greedy Williams might just sneak into striking distance, which would be a lot of fun.
Now, when we're talking runs out there, we're talking is positional runs. The NFL draft has a way where positions won't be taken, then all of a sudden teams will start dipping in the waters of a certain position. That's where teams have to decide what they want to do quickly so they can still grab the player. Two of my favorite corners are corners that probably could be there, but a good combine might raise their stakes, and that's Byron Murphy of the University of Washington. 58 tackles, 4 for loss, 4th on the team in tackles this year, and the highest graded safety in the corner in the SEC, DeAndre Baker. Physical, can play either side of the field, can also play the slot position. Those are two of my favorites. They also seem to be the favorite of people doing mock drafts, having the Chiefs land them because they'll still should be there when the Chiefs pick, although I think Byron Murphy will go ahead of DeAndre Baker. But either way, I think if these two guys are still on the board, the Chiefs have to make this their pick on 29.
Yeah, and it is Byron Murphy or DeAndre Baker showing up on mock drafts for the Chiefs. Like every single one you see, it's one of those two. Byron Murphy for us at this point definitely is the better player. If you liked Jair Alexander, the cornerback from Louisville last year, you are going to enjoy watching Byron Murphy. He's got some attitude. He's got some toughness to him. Ball skills. He's just a tad undersized. I think that's the thing that a lot of people are really questioning with him, but there's so much to like about his game. We're big fans of him. And then with Baker, you know, I think he's a guy that he doesn't really have one dominant trait to hang his hat on. I think he's good at a lot of things, but what's his ceiling there? Is he great at anything? You know, one of the conversations we had this week on our podcast, someone brought up, I don't remember who it was, Craig or Matt, brought up the fact that, you know, Baker might be like Steven Nelson with a little bit more ball skills. So okay. Is that what you want at the cornerback position? Is that a guy that you're really high on? You know, it'll be a debate. I think he's probably going to profile as a number two corner. Byron Murphy might have number one corner opportunities there. He might have the upside for that. So that those two guys are interesting.
And the best of my rest is Trayvon Mullen at Clemson. I know Craig Stout likes him. Good size, length, ball skills. Julian Love, Notre Dame, second or third rounder. And then the other one is Rakya Sin. He's a 6'1 corner out of Temple, 66 tackles, two picks. He's a like an all-energy type of guy. I don't know if he's going to make Terrez Paylor's all-juice team, but Rakya Sin is the guy that you guys got to see at the Senior Bowl.
Not only did we see him at the Senior Bowl, Bink, I actually interviewed him and got to spend a couple minutes talking with Rock. Easily my favorite interview of the entire process.
That I like the name.
And it's a great name, too. He was a great interview. Really enjoyed talking to him. He really excelled in press. That's kind of something that he's very good at. He's very talented when he's getting to play at the line of scrimmage and play up in the face of a corner. One of the things he said he was working on during the Senior Bowl was he was working on his off-man technique. You know, he hadn't really got to do a lot of that when he was at Temple. So that was something he kind of focused on over the process. The thing I really like about Rakya Sin is he chose and actively sought to go after and get reps against Debo Samuel, the receiver from South Carolina. They were trying to line up against each other. They both wanted to compete. I'm a big Rock fan. If he's there in round two, you should be thrilled that the Chiefs wound up with it.
And he very well could be with those two picks that they have. Now, the safeties came out as well. Again, I was talking to somebody about the safety position. I typically value safeties more than others. I do believe, and I understand that people say, yeah, it's not a great position. Well, I disagree. In the Super Bowl, Super Bowl champion teams, the one commonality is there's been more all-pro safeties on Super Bowl winning teams than not. And I do think that they can help in run support. And I think the Chiefs are in a position we're looking at safety, especially in the second or third round. I think it's deep at that position, like I think of tight ends. But Juan Thornhill, Jonathan Abram were a couple of my guys that I really liked. And Deontay Thompson out of Alabama, those were my top three.
Yeah, and so the Chiefs are probably going to switch up how their safeties are utilized here moving forward. So, you know, Bob Sutton really liked versatility in his safeties where you could have a guy playing, you know, deep. Either guy can play deep, has some flexibility to, you know, kind of help keep things balanced, you know, allow people, you know, allow them to disguise a little differently. Now, you know, with Spagnuolo, he's typically had more traditional roles where you've got a single high, you know, you got your free safety, you've got your box safety. And so, you know, there's two different roles that are going to be filled. So depending on what happens with Eric Berry, you know, they could need a box safety. And one of those guys you mentioned is Jonathan Abram. I did not like his 2017 tape, but when I went and put on some 2018 tape, I was blown away at how much he improved. He fixed some of his tackling issues. He plays with energy. He's a tone setter. He's the definition of a tone setter. He actually, if we're going to talk tight ends, we might wind up talking T.J. Hockenson. Abrams tossed T.J. Hockenson trying to block him.
Really?
And it was one of my favorite plays. I have it on my Twitter account. You can find it.
Who was it? Thompson did? Thompson did?
No, Abrams.
Oh, Jonathan Abram. Oh, at Mississippi State, Jonathan Abram. Okay. Another couple guys, Nasir Adderley is interesting to me. He's the Delaware guy. He was at the Senior Bowl as well, and I know Matt Lane liked him as well. But 87 tackles, 4 interceptions, 7 pass breaks up. Fast dude, great closing speed as well. Could be a second rounder, but again, comes out of Delaware. And the other one was Taylor Rapp out of Washington once again. That secondary that they had with Byron Murphy, 58 tackles, 5 for loss, 4 sacks, 2 picks. But Adderley and Taylor Rapp.
Yeah, Adderley's another guy I got to talk to at the Senior Bowl, too. He actually was playing in the Senior Bowl with a high ankle sprain, so he didn't get to show off everything that you wanted him to show in man coverage, but I'm a big fan of his as well. He's got range. He's got ball skills. He's got some special teams juice as a returner, even, and he's a guy that he plays the game the right way. He's got that cornerback background, so you like that and hope maybe that can translate to some coverage skills. Very intriguing player. Same with Rapp, too. Rapp's more of a box safety kind of role, so he's going to play down the box. You don't want him playing single high. But he's strong. He's a very disciplined player in the box. He's a fun one as well.
Now let's move on to the tight end position. That might be one of the deepest positions in the draft. And I know the Chiefs, I mean, look at Travis Kelce led the team in receptions with 103. and from that tight end position. But when you get to the playoffs, AFC title game was really bracketed by Bill Belichick. Now, the guy that you did mention that got tossed around was T.J. Hockenson, big 6'5", 250-pound tight end out of Iowa, who's the John Mackey Award winner, is the best tight end in college football. But the other question is, too, Noah Fant, who is seen as a second-round pick, 6'5", 240-pound tight end. So really two of my top three tight ends both came out of Iowa. Now, he was only 39 catches for 518, but he had seven touchdowns. Is that a product because Hockenson was so good? Or is Fant, if Hockenson wasn't there, we look at him with the Hockenson-type numbers?
Yeah, I think they probably, you know, ate into each other's production, but you see both. The traits are there. You know, I talked about T.J. Hockenson is probably going to wind up being our tight end one. And the comment about him getting tossed was more about credit to Abrams than it was about Hockenson, because Hockenson's probably the best blocking tight end that is in this class, but he's also a phenomenal receiver. With Fant, the blocking skills aren't the same, but the athletic traits are special. And he's a guy that, you know, he may not line up in line as a tight end very often, but he's got athleticism. He's got some really intriguing traits to work with, and he could be a fun piece to add to this offense.
The one guy that I really like probably as tight end too is Irv Smith out of Bama, 6'4", 241 pounds, 44 catches, 710 yards, 7 touchdowns. But when targeted, the highest quarterback rating in the nation with the 157.7 from the tight end position, he was number one in the country when it came to quarterback rating with tight ends.
Yeah, in other classes, Irv Smith might be your tight end one. And that's what's so intriguing about this guy is, you know, he could be a tremendous value in the second round. And if the Chiefs were wound up able to find a guy like Irv Smith with the athleticism, got some blocking chops. He's not as good of a blocker as Hockenson, obviously, but I think he's still a really raw project. There's a lot to work with Irv Smith, and he's a guy that could wind up being tremendous value in round two. That's a guy, if the Chiefs wanted to invest in offense, I would love to see that kind of player in round two for them. If he does fall, it'd be a really cool piece to add, and he can develop with Kelce and still get opportunities to make 12 personnel more dynamic.
All right, the Chiefs, if they decide not to get one in the first or second round, third round or fifth round, because you don't have a fourth rounder, Caden Smith at Stanford I think could be a mid-round pick, and also C.J. Conrad that I really liked at the University of Kentucky. Didn't have a ton of catches, but again, I think it's one of these byproducts of an offense that was primarily a running offense that when he did have the ball showed some amazing ball skills. But I feel he could be a mid-round pick, like the fifth round, somewhere like that. Him and Caden Smith would be my mid-round gems at that tight end position if the Chiefs decided to wait.
Yeah, Caden Smith's another guy. If he does fall into round three, you would be absolutely thrilled, because I think at this point we have a second-round grade on Caden Smith. With Conrad, yeah, you know, maybe he didn't get as many opportunities as, you know, some have in the passing game, but there is some intriguing, you know, there's some intriguing traits there. And you know what? The new linebackers coach for the Chiefs, he might actually have, you know, Matt House might have, you know, some insight on a guy like Conrad. So it'll be interesting to see.
Then that was my final question for you, Kent. The Matt House. I love this. Again, there's no salary cap on coaches in the NFL. Some would say, why would a college defensive coordinator in the SEC become just a linebacker coach? And we don't know. Maybe he gets an extra title added to his name. But Kentucky, sixth in the nation in scoring defense, 23rd in total defense, second in the SEC scoring defense, fourth in total defense. And I saw a Matt House defense completely shut down, I think, a really decent Missouri team that could have been a 10-win team, shut them down to no first downs in the second half.
They did some really fun stuff this year. And, you know, I think one of the things you notice about what Matt House did is that defense got better and the players in his scheme got better. There's a lot of draft eligible talent now that exceeded expectations. Josh Allen, for instance, is now a consensus top five pick. And if he came out a year ago, he would have been in the second round. So you've seen guys improve. You've seen, you know, guys really grow and develop, and you've seen that unit really perform at a very high level. So there's a lot of positive indicators about Matt House. I think it's a fantastic hire. Obviously, Craig does too. Craig had him as a dark horse candidate for defensive coordinator.
Yeah, we talked about that earlier. I read his comments. Yeah.
Getting this guy on your staff was a big win in our eyes.
No, I'm with you. Not only that, he helped develop Aaron Donald as well. So, yeah, if he could pull Chris Jones to the side too and take him to that next level that he's already at, where he's on the cusp of greatness, if you don't say that this year was great, because I think it was too. But Kent Swanson, at Kent underscore Swanson, Arrowhead Pride has big things with the draft. You can tell the knowledge on Kent Swanson, on Matt Lane, on Craig Stout when they join me. These guys know their stuff. Give them a follow. They're going to be must-follows for the NFL draft. Thanks a ton, Kent.
Thanks, buddy.
There you go, Kent Swanson right there. Love that. Jason Nivens, 98.9 The Rock, steps in as he does every single Friday because we have a beer segment with Stockyards Brewing.
Not in my backyard.
Coming up at 7:30.
Yeah.
Coming up next, an important question I'm going to ask you.
Ooh.
The Chiefs fans were asked today on our Twitter page at 610 Sports KC. I think you'll find this rather interesting. We discuss the interesting poll question next. Now be sure you're listening to Fesco in the Morning on Monday. That new Axiom Brewery is no joke.
Nah.
Been in here a couple times.
It's good times.
Love their beer.
Yeah.
You will typically find me there sometimes on a weekend in the afternoon. As a matter of fact, we made it a 610 party one night when a bunch of us went out there.
Yeah, that's right.
You Julio, the Dirty Werewolf, Dusty right. Likens, Vern.
Yep, no one told me about it.
BK.
It was nice.
Everybody but Nivens
was
invited.
It was nice to see it live on Facebook while you guys were there, and I was at home just waiting for my call.
It was rude of us.
Julio, and I invited
for
you
my call.
To transport that had some great stouts, by
my
way.
Son was sick, man. Come on, man. You can't. I got to put kid first, right?
Of course.
Especially because of that.
Family first. Family
because
first.
That day I also had been filling in middays next door, so I was gone for 12 hours.
Stockyards Brewing is supposed to be in at 7:30. Greg from Stockyards, so we'll talk Stockyards Brewing. But the poll question of
right.
the day.
I didn't even go look
sports.
At it. I didn't even go look
good.
At it.
I'm glad. I at 610 Sports KC, here you go.
Fresh ears.
Would you be all right with the Chiefs re-signing Kareem Hunt? Yes or no? 4,853 people have voted in this poll, and the poll is still open for 11 or 12 more hours that you can go vote at 610 Sports KC on Twitter. My question to you is, where do you think people say? Do you think they're saying yes or no? I will tell you, it is heavily slanted in the...
Yeah, that excited?
In one direction. Heavily slanted in one direction.
I would say that the audience probably has said yes, assuming that the NFL clears him, that he's gone through proper protocol, anger management courses, you know, making a hefty donation to good causes. I would assume that's what the audience is going with.
And the survey says... Yes, it's 70%.
I was waiting
30%.
I thought there was going to be a buzzer there or something.
I've always wanted to say that.
Yeah.
Always wanted the host family.
I was going to be like,
always wanted the host. Always wanted the host to be like, the survey says.
Survey says.
And the survey says?
I mean,
yes.
I think.
I would have voted yes too, by the way.
You would? You go yes on that?
I would have.
I think.
I'm a second chance guy, though.
Second chance. And there it is.
Better late than never.
I do love that.
He's been late on that drum roll.
It's all right. You know, it's a Friday.
Gotta warn me out of time.
Yeah.
But Nivens hasn't told me yes or no, so the drum roll fits.
Man. Obviously, we got pretty far without him on board.
If it doesn't fit, you got to quit.
You know, I think I do. I will say, and I'm sure this is probably unpopular to some people out there, I would say that knowing what we learned about it, I mean, this – drunk 19-year-old girl pounding on the door repeatedly for 30 minutes, throwing around that one word that she that you hear these 18, 19, 20-year-old girls think they're funny when they do it, but using it in the manner that she did, I mean, that's not something that's funny, and there's no repercussions for her. I mean, she's a ghost on social media.
They did not press charges.
They did not press charges. She's a ghost on social media. You can't find any of her information out there. Would I bring him back? That's a tough one, man. I mean, because will you get a lot of backlash for it, you know?
I don't think they care. They did with Tyreek Hill, and they didn't care.
Right, but look at Tyreek Hill. Look what happened there.
I just think the NFL is so much different than any other
right,
sport.
Right, but look, you can't.
Because he can do drugs. You can
no,
do PEDs.
No, hold on.
Like, Julian Edelman was suspended
yeah, exactly.
for PEDs, and the big talk
yeah,
putting him in the Hall of Fame.
Exactly.
In baseball, they shun you forever.
Yeah. So let's go back to the comparison with Hill. I don't know if that's really fair to do because Him and Tyreek and this gal have obviously had a long history.
But they're back together.
They're back together. They're engaged. He is raising their son. He's taking care of it. You knew when that whole thing went down. And if he didn't do his due diligence of being responsible father, that this, it would have blown up. You would have heard all about it.
But don't you think this kind of, his situation kind of broke the ice that makes, even if they do re-sign him, makes it a little bit easier for Kansas City fans to stomach?
I think so. I think so. As long as Hunt, but see, here's the problem though with the Hunt situation. It's from what it sounds like, it wasn't just the one situation. He also had a scuffle, allegedly.
Yeah, but I'm not putting any stock in that because that stuff happens, man. You're drinking at a bar. You're a pro athlete. People want to challenge you, man.
Sure.
They want to fight you. It's the same with being big guy, man. People want to fight you.
But do you think Hunt has to then get in front of the cameras, get in front of the media, get in front of the...
Well, he did right away.
Yeah, and yeah, I guess he did. He did go on, ESPN and made a kind of a declaration.
He did, but we don't know. Maybe he's doing the counseling. Maybe he's doing the things that he should be doing. I mean, I don't know. I mean, again, people can be reformed. We've seen it with our own eyes.
Absolutely.
Let's go to Luke in North Kansas City who wants to chime in. What's up, Luke?
Hey, guys. Hey, Dad. Nice to see you again.
Oh, this is my son, Luke.
Anyway, I just want to...
I am not your father, Luke.
I've heard that a couple times.
All right.
Anyways, you know, I'm 27, and all those people that are just a little bit younger than me are always annoying me because it's honestly the entitlement generation. And so, like, now I'm not going to condone what Kareem did at all. But the thing is that when somebody is just literally trying to get on your nerves just to try and get some attention, I mean, there should have been at least a little bit of heat on her for being such a pest. I mean, like, you know, you say a bunch of things like I dare anybody to go out in public and do the things that she did and not have an issue.
Well, the bottom line is, I mean, you know, people, I mean, he shouldn't have done what he did. I think we'd all agree with that. But the thing is, I do believe that people have bad moments. And I'm not saying a bad moment where you kill somebody or something like that. I mean, obviously,
look at Vince Neil from Motley Crue.
You got to pay the time on that. But
Razzie, the drummer for, I'm having a brain fart.
But I do believe the NFL's got the power and resources to reform you. We've seen it before. It can happen again. Yeah. It can happen again.
Okay. I wouldn't be surprised to see the Chiefs, in fact, re-sign him.
It's the same thing with prisoners that now go around and speak to other prisoners.
Sure.
That, you know, they reform themselves.
Michael Vick, I brought back.
Absolutely. You can be reformed, and I'm a big believer in that. Now, some people can't, but, you know, second chance, I'm not saying third and fourth chance guy here. I'm just saying second chance guy.
So right? if something, let's say he comes back, right, and something happens again, is that a lifetime ban then from the NFL?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
You got to wonder. Just I think how this is a gamble. This is a risk. This is definitely something.
There's no way that they can have him back though, because it's like, let's say you break up with your significant other, and they made a bunch of mistakes, and then you take them back, and they do it again. Your family will absolutely drag you through the mud. There's no way that you can have him back here. Now, he should probably be running the ball for the Ravens or some team, you know, maybe even the Titans, some like really run-centric team, but there's no way that he can come back to the Chiefs.
I don't know, though. I don't know if that's – thanks for the call, Luke. I appreciate it. I'm not your dad. But the he called one night and said, are you my dad? But I don't know. I mean, Veach said this about him in his press conference. If Kareem changes his ways, will you bring him back? Keep in mind, the Bears have already called him to chat and see how he's doing.
Matt, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't ever like to speak in definitive terms on anybody. I think that, again, this is, you know, talking about something that was just 2 months ago. So, I mean, there's always scenarios down the line and guys that have done everything asked of them through the league and through all these steps of rehabilitation, that sort of thing. But again, that's something that hasn't been discussed here, or something that we're not thinking about when you know we're in touch with Kareem, which we have been, in regards to our guys talking to his representation and our coaches reaching out to Kareem. It is solely about just Kareem making sure that you know, he has his life on track, and football and Kareem is the furthest thing from our mind right now.
How have those updates been? Is he doing all right?
Yeah, they've been going good, and, you know, he's in the process of taking the steps and doing the things he needs to do. And, again, this is a long-term deal here, so, you know, it's only been a few months, but, you know, all the interaction we've had is that he started that process. Again, he has a long way to go, but, you know, we just hope that, you know, he takes those steps needed, and whatever we can do from a personal standpoint, we wanted him to know that we'll always be there for him.
So it makes you wonder, do you think the Kansas City that said 70% welcome back, is it because it could be
Kansas City or anywhere?
But you know what I'm saying? Is it because they want to see him in a Chiefs uniform, or is it because they don't want to see him in any other uniform?
Could be both.
You know?
I don't know, man.
I mean, if you saw him playing for the Raiders.
I think Chiefs fans at this point.
The Patriots.
Have shown, you know, he lied to the team. That's probably a big reason. I told you that. We had a long discussion.
Yeah.
Of that.
But there's some people that are like, hey, man, on the text line, he move on. He lied to the team.
Well, back to the – we'll talk about this again in the 8 o'clock hour. But every Friday, 7:30 to 8, we bring in a local brewery into here as we shift into two guys in a brewery mode. You can check out all the podcasts, 610sports.com on the podcast page. Stockyards Brewing from the West Bottoms in here next.
It's Friday, so crack one open with two guys in a brewery. On Bink at Night, here's Bink and Nivens from 98.9 The Rock.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
What is time? What we do at 7:30 on Friday nights? We talk, we talk beer. And Nivens
What's for dinner?
Are huge fans of the local craft beer scene. That is absolutely blowing up in Kansas City. Mentioned we went to Transport Brewery. Julio and I did down here on Johnson Drive last week.
Was that last Friday?
Yes, where they had their own beer. Plus, they had another beer on tap. One from Stockyards Brewing. And Stockyards Brewing, Greg Bland, the owner, coming up on 3 years down in the West Bottoms.
Just so everyone knows out in the audience, this is a room full of beards in here. I got my beard rocking. Greg's got his beard rocking.
But not only that, it's a historical building you put the brewery in. We'll talk about that. But 1600 Genesee Street, suite number 100. That's the address, right?
Is that it?
Is your mic on? You got you? I can't hear you. Talk into that guy.
On.
Oh, yeah.
Here we go. Got him up, Julio.
He's got him now.
We own that. All right.
Yeah, now we're good.
But talk about your building, because your breweries are in like the most unique places, and you chose a really unique historical place to put your brewery in, Greg.
We did. We tried. You know, I'm a pretty big Kansas City history nerd, and so I wanted to be in a cool historic part of Kansas City. And so even before we found our location, we knew we were going to be somewhere in the West Bottoms in the Stockyards district.
Okay, and that's what I was going to ask you.
I'm glad that area needed it.
Did you come up with the name after realizing you're going to be there, or did you come up with the name ahead of time, but then go, okay, now we got to find it. Now we're going to be in the Stockyards.
We got to find the Stockyards and put the thing in Johnson County.
Right. No, the name was first, really. So when I moved to Kansas City in 2010, had been spending a lot of time here since about 2006, really. But in 2010, I officially moved here, and one of the first things I did was find myself like a shop space, a workspace for myself.
Okay.
And I found a warehouse space down in the West Bottoms, right off of Wyoming Street.
Sure.
And so I just fell in love with that neighborhood. I originally grew up in Montana, so I was on the other end of kind of the cattle trail.
Right.
Nice. Right.
So coming into the Stockyards really felt pretty normal and at home to me.
Yeah.
So it was great to find, you know, a part of the city that had so much great history that I could really dive into.
I mean, yeah, you're right. You're connected to the Livestock Exchange Building. Yep. You're basically inside of the old Golden Ox.
The traditional ceilings.
And it is wild because the audience has heard me mention it. And I live in the West Side, and my wife and I have a little retail shop down in the West Bottoms on the North End, off of Hickory between 11th and 12th. So I'm in that neighborhood.
My wife and I live on the West Side as well.
Okay, we'll discuss this off air.
Greg, this dude has a garage. He calls the Baraggio, where it looks like 1970s threw up on it, and he's got a bar on the side of his house too. He's got like two bars.
Oh, nice.
You guys have got to get together.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
He's got a band stage.
We built a band. built the stage. We'll talk. We got some ideas. We got some ideas brewing for the future. I'm down there a lot. Where was I? Where the hell was I going? Oh, just the other day I was looking at it and seeing sort of that little line down Genesee and imagining 100 years ago when those buildings all just lined everywhere and cattle. And because I think most people don't realize up until the flood of 51, there was even homes down there. There was little shanty, there's little shanty towns along there. And I know you guys, I was in there not too long ago, leaving a First Fridays event where I was working. And I was like, I'm gonna stop off for a beer. And I got, I was happy to see, I don't know if you still have it on tap, but you had French Bottoms.
We still have the French Bottoms IPA.
IPA, yeah, that's what it was, man. Which is
6.8%, very respectable.
But I was telling these guys that the West Bottoms up until the Louisiana Purchase was the French Bottoms in Kansas City. It was where Choteau had established himself in a trading post, and it was a French colony.
That's back when they were called Kansas City, what, Possum Trot or Foxville?
Well, they were voting on
Foxtrot or Possumville.
Well, it was the town of Kansas for a while.
Pork Fonda.
Yeah. It was town of Kansas for a while, too. So, yeah. So it's great to see, I think, that certain aspects of where you guys are in the stockyards really coming back to life. Obviously, more work to do and being done. I mean, you've got a brand new apartment complex coming in right next door.
I mean, location, location, location. We did not at all plan to have our parking lot and our, where we do all of our shipping and receiving get completely taken away from us.
Right.
But if it's going to be replaced with 240 apartments.
Yes. I mean, how do you complain about that, right?
We'll live with the headache for the year and a half that it might be to have people stumble out their front door and fall into our front door.
I mean, how great is that?
Now, Greg, I know that you do a lot of the business side stuff now, too, because your beer, like I said, at Transport Brewery, they had a keg of it on tap. I go to the Peanut a lot. They've got a tap of the Brunch Stout, which I happen to have quite a bit, to be honest
with you.
It's
a delicious beer.
I'm a huge, huge, huge fan. It's one of my favorite beers, I'd say. If I had a top five beers, top three beers, the Brunch Stout would be it. Okay. I'm that big of a fan.
Yeah, so how did
of
you
that beer? Greg, you were a brewer at first, and
I won't claim to be the brewer of our beer. Our head brewer, Michael Weichert, is he's a tremendous gold mine of a brewer. He comes from a long history of really, really great breweries. He's been brewing for more than 20 years professionally.
Got to find that guy.
Yeah, he started out at 75th Street. He started out at Pony Express and then moved up to 75th Street, 75th Street Lawrence. He ran a brew house in called Waimea Brewing Company in Kauai. I don't know why he came back. Yeah, he was in Hawaii and he managed to still come back. He's a huge KU fan. He spent a lot of time in Lawrence. So he told me that he's sorry that he can't be here today, but that he needs to come in because he's got some things to say to you boys. So.
Oh, like good, bad, like
sports takes.
Are we squaring off?
Sports takes. Yeah,
hey, you guys are always welcome. I always invite you guys during the week. If you have something special to come out, I always invite them. Like Transport
is also incredible on a microphone. We have one microphphone at the brewery that we call the microphone.
Really,
it's just for him to control whenever we do events and things. He's always got to be running it, which is great.
So what got you into going, all right, I'm going to open up a brewery, I'm going to roll the dice and do this? Because a lot of the guys that we talk to, they're initially home brewers and they decided to take it to that level. But you, not a home brewer, but wanted to go to that level.
Well, I was a home brewer.
Okay.
And I took a little bit different course than a lot of other home brewers do that go professional.
Okay.
I knew that I didn't want to start a small brew house that I was just going to run myself, kind of out of the back of a garage or anything like that.
Sure.
I knew that if I was going to do this, I was going to go 100% in, and I was going to need some help, and I was going to need to find the right people to put around me.
Right.
And so
getting choked up. That's how he loves those people around him.
I'm so passionate about it. But I was homebrewing for about 10 years before I really started focusing on the Stockyards project.
Okay.
And instead of going along the route of being the brewer myself and really designing the recipes and everything like that, I knew that there were going to be plenty of things that I couldn't understand on the brewing side, like managing a steam boiler and a steam system for our brew house and our glycol system and running that process piping and everything. There were just things that I wasn't going to understand, and I was comfortable with that. So instead, I went to Chicago and I went to the Siebel Institute and I took some brewing business courses.
Okay.
So I got my certificate in the business of brewing instead of the science of brewing.
I like that.
Yeah.
And then through a really great mutual friend, I met Micah when he was the head brewer at Gordon Biersch downtown.
Sure.
And I just kind of threw everything at him and I was like, how do you feel? What do you think? And he turned around and asked me all the questions that he usually asks when a friend comes in and says, hey, I have this friend who's a home brewer and wants to start a brewery.
Like, right.
Why don't you talk to him? And Micah's like, yeah, I've heard that before.
Right.
You know? So what's the big picture plans? Because I mentioned I can find your beer at various places. So you're already past that stage where you're distributing your beer to certain places around the city. I know that some breweries have started the canning process and everybody starts off with, you know, just the tap room and then they evolve into different things. What's big picture for you?
Well, I mean, we love the really, really sort of natural growth. Like, we haven't changed a single thing in our brew house since day one. We still operate with the same 4 fermenters, the same 5 bright tanks, and our goal is still to serve majority of our beer over the counter at our own tap room. But we also love being able to use our tap handles around the city as more of a marketing tool than a sell your beer tool. So we've got 5 or 6 beers that we offer out in distribution. And then we usually have around 10 beers on tap at the bar.
See, I love that. I love that because I've always said that when you go into a brewery and you taste this Stockyards, I need to go try this beer. I really like this beer. And
right.
I got to go try it out. Just like I said that, you know, at the Peanut, the Stockyards, they have it on tap. And so, I mean, it's great for you to be right there with all these other great beers. There's local Kansas City beer, which I love. Right. Stay right there, Greg. What we're going to do is take a timeout, come back. Sample some of your beers, your staple beers. What's the best sellers? What do you like to make? Because obviously you have a bunch of different brews. We talk beer with Greg Bland, Stockyards Brewing, next. And welcome back to Two Guys in a Brewery. We take a little time out from Bacon Night between 7:30 and 8. Each Friday night, Jason Nivens, 98.9 The Rock. You hear him.
A little bumper music almost sounds
down there. Studio with us now is Greg Bland, the visionary behind Stockyards Brewing down in the Stockyards. And he's got 3 different beers for us to try. Cerveza Royale, which is inspired by the great beers of Central and South America. And he's also got the Black IPA, which I think you will like, Nivens.
Yeah.
And also, they've got the an Irish red that they call the County Clare, 5.5% an Irish style red ale beer, malted barley from the Ireland Malting Company. How about that? Which one do you want to try first?
You just
want to
sound fancy. Hey, is your mic? Hit your mic.
Sorry. Red, there we go.
Turn on. Is it on? All right.
Is it on?
He's on. Is he up? Here we go again. Come on, Julio.
The County Clare actually came out today. Yeah, the Irish Red came out today.
That's on your website.
There we go. We're trying that one first. There it is.
Yep.
Bust out the glasses.
The malt is all grown and malted. The barley is grown and malted in Ireland.
How about that? I'll read the description on it. It's 5.5% IBUs, 23% traditional Irish ale brewed with the Irish grown and malted barley from the Ireland Malting Company. Sweet candy-like flavors of the crystal malts are tamed by the toasted characters of the Munich malt. So it's got a little German malt.
That water's
in it as
pulled
well.
Straight from the Kahl River, too,
you
isn't
have
it?
Some of that, German
English
malt
grown Golding and Challenger hops. This thing is Euro all over.
This is delicious. This is delicious.
Smell that?
I can't. I'm tasting it. I dove right in. I didn't even bother with the smell.
Oh, that is a
That's good.
Yeah, it's one of our most popular seasonal releases.
It's seasonal. Seasonal, okay.
Because St. Paddy's Day coming up. I know you guys have Stocktoberfest for your October.
Right, our Stocktoberfest is still by far our best seasonal release. Like that beer just crushes it. The minute we release it, and we come out probably with it first week of September or so, and it's gone before November 1st.
It's a nice crushable beer, by the way, at 5.5%.
Where you guys are, you've got Rockstar Burgers, Lucky Boys, Voltaire, you got Gold Knox. Is it Campground that just went in?
Campground just opened.
And then you've got the wine tasting just up the
Amigoni.
Way. Yeah, just up the way. I mean, talk about this little mecca of eating and drinking and just really dope spots to hang out that I mean When did that happen? I know the Golden Ox was there for a while, then it left, and then everything just kind of all started popping up.
It's been a really cool neighborhood for a while, even with Suteras and Grandma's for a long time, and then Suteras turned into our bar for a little while.
Okay.
That Alex Pope,
right,
who runs his shop in the East Bottoms that just moved now up to River Market, Local Pig.
Yeah, there it is. Yeah.
So he ran our bar for a while and had awesome food, great place to watch music, and then that turned into Voltaire,
right,
which is now just also an awesome place to see music.
Do they do music? I haven't been in there yet. I just remember reading that review a couple of years back when some Yelper tried to
review. Yeah. Oh, Yelp.
That was great. Yeah.
Everybody hates Yelp.
Yeah.
Even if you love it, you still hate it.
So, and I know I've been in there before on Sundays. You guys have kind of a Sunday throwdown that goes on there.
We do. Yeah. So Sundays, we love our Sundays, and we really live through the week for our Sundays, because our Sundays is we do bluegrass, folk, or country music every single Sunday now. We started out calling it just Bluegrass Sunday because Micah, our head brewer, has just a great, great collection of bluegrass bands and music that he can call on to bring in and come play. And then we just really started expanding from there, bringing in some folk music and some country stuff like Casey Roush, the country duo.
Sure.
They're an incredible country band.
What are the hours like Sunday?
Sunday we open at noon and we close at 8. The live music is 3 to 6.
There's a couple Westsiders as well, Victor and Penny. I don't know if you've had them down, but they're in our hood.
Victor and Penny are super cool.
Yeah, they're rad, man. I've known Aaron for a while and got to know Jeff, but yeah, good people for sure.
Yeah, we get a lot of really really local bands, which is part of the reason we love it too. Everybody comes to see the other bands play every single weekend.
I think that's the one thing that we really have done real well in Kansas City, on top of the microbreweries, is really supporting a lot of the talented musicians that are here in town.
Oh, yeah. It all goes back to just the art culture of Kansas City.
I mean, we're a landlocked island. You know, we're 8 hours minimum from all these major cities, like, say, Dallas, Chicago, Denver, Minneapolis, you know.
Right.
And so we just like, all right, we'll play with ourselves.
We'll make it cool here.
Yeah, we have. I mean, I think you really have. And you know, you talked about that apartment complex going in, the remodel work that happened with now Hy-Vee Arena. Has that drawn over some business for you? Do you feel like you had some people come through?
Hy-Vee's been really cool to have in the neighborhood. It's something more to talk about. It's another reason to
instead of just tearing the thing down, put something in it.
Yeah, it's a cool historic building. I'm glad that it's still around. And even this weekend, there's a wheelchair rugby tournament going on.
Wow.
It used to be called Murder Ball, really, but I guess they needed to change the name from Murder Ball to...
I've seen that documentary, sure.
Yeah, Murder Ball documentary is pretty incredible.
Yeah.
No, the Midwest Adaptive Sports, they actually came up and talked with us about having a spot for everybody to come hang out after the tournaments. And so we've got this cool relationship now with different sporting events and different activities that are happening at Hy-Vee. Like Casey Crew is now in the Hy-Vee Arena, and they're running events what seem like 7 days a week now.
Yeah.
But it's been cool to have them in the neighborhood and start to bring more traffic down and start to see different groups and different sports coming through.
All right, we got Tracer Vasa Royale.
Vic's already moving on. He's
Divin's too busy talking about stuff, and I'm drinking beer.
I'm just doing my job.
That's the part of the show where we sample beer. Cerveza Royale.
We are sampling beer.
4.5%, right, 11 IBUs. Inspired by some of the great beers of Central and South America. Light-bodied lager. Brewed with light malted barley from Chile and modest amounts of German pearl hops. How about that? Combine Chile with some German hops. This has become the trend, Greg. It seems like people have their take on Mexican-style lagers.
That's a thing now.
Seems like most breweries do have. I think New Axiom's got one, too. So.
They do, and I think Mac actually told me that it was the first beer that they brewed was a Mexican lager.
Mac, that's a wild guy.
Interesting.
This is delicious. It smells good.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Do you have a beer that is your favorite to imbibe on and brew?
My favorite is the Black IPA.
Okay.
We'll get to that truly in a minute with all the flavors and stuff that come from that beer, but that beer really kind of embodies like our brand and our brewery as a whole.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of rugged.
It's a summer beer right here. I mean, it's totally get done with mowing, chill on your deck.
It's a yard beer, definitely.
It's a yard beer.
And it's the most approachable beer that we have. Very crushable. We get enough people that come in and just ask, what's the lightest beer you got, or what's the closest thing to Bud Light, or anything.
Which you almost
like
have
that.
To have. Because,
yeah, of course.
But it's good though, because it gets people in the door. They're not threatened by trying something like that. And then if they're willing to expand their palate, they'll
go. Gateway.
Yeah. This exactly. is my deal, Greg. I bring people in that are such traditional beer drinkers that they won't give me that opportunity to teach them about craft. But once I get them into a brewery, they always find something they like. I've always told people that. You will find something you like. Grab a flight of beer.
Oh, yeah.
That way you're not drinking 12 ounces. What are your flights, like 4 to 6 ounces? Like
we
that?
Have 4 4-ounce pours.
So, okay. So what I'm saying is try different beers, and every single person has found a beer mm-hmm. that matches their palate. And then they became craft beer drinkers.
That's my wife.
Oh, yeah.
I've known people that swore against craft beer.
Yeah.
They started going to craft breweries. It's all they buy now.
Well, but I said this before. I feel like when we call it craft beer, that almost can give it an air of pretentiousness when it's just like, man, these are just small guys, microbrews. You know what I mean? Like just because I feel like there is that sort of like hoity-toity attitude that can be perceived. Not that it's not a reality.
Well, I mean, there are some breweries out there that want to have that reality as well, and they want to make beers that you serve in a stemmed wine glass or anything like that, and are. And there's absolutely a place for those beers, and those beers are delicious. You know, we don't brew sour beers right now. It's not that we won't in the future.
Right.
We just haven't done it yet. And we're strong believers in a drinkable beer, a crushable beer, you know, like Cerveza Royale or the County Clare. You know, we don't necessarily want to knock you out with a 12% ABV beer that you might only buy one of.
Right.
But with Cerveza Royale, you're probably going to buy two, maybe three of those.
Right. And this is a guy you can trust, because I can tell you, audience, he is wearing a shirt that Hunter S. Thompson would be proud of. So I definitely give this man props.
You're combining Chile with Germany. I mean, it's a great combination. Interesting combination. Yeah. Creative combination.
Yeah.
That was good. That was
good, isn't it?
Now I want to try that. I got to go with that black IPA before we shut this thing down. I know, I'm keeping an eye on Julio.
All right. This is your favorite beer. It's also the most potent beer.
Ooh.
Out of the bunch, the Black IPA is 7%. It is an IPA, IBU 79.
Rubbing my hands, getting excited. Here we go.
Inspired the creation of Stockyards Brewing Company, this IPA is modestly roasted with a complex blend of dark malt character complemented by Columbus, Chinook, and New Zealand Pacific Jade
that's good.
Hops. You guys look at the whole world and find your hops.
And I will say from being in there.
You're not all about Galaxy Mosaic then.
No, certainly not. I don't even think we have Mosaic or Galaxy in our brewery right now. We might have some Mosaic. We certainly don't have Galaxy.
The smell of this Black IPA is very inviting.
And you kept the interior of the Golden Ox, didn't you? Isn't that like you have?
Yeah.
Had
so
the
front
mural?
Bar of our space is the original lounge of the Golden Ox.
Yeah. So there you go.
That's our tap room and tasting area now. And then the brewery space was one of the dining rooms for the Golden Ox.
And they've opened up next door. They reopened back up.
They are back open now. Yeah, they're awesome.
But all these local breweries find old buildings. They fix them up. They look great. They're not just eyesores. They're fixed up.
Yeah,
modeled. At, I mean, I just love the craft beer scene and what you guys do to the buildings. And then you bring this delicious tasting beer.
Mm.
I can see why this is your favorite.
Yeah,
I can see this.
It
way.
Really doesn't
this,
drink
this,
like this a 7%
tastes like
either.
Stockyards,
and this is—it's also nice for me because I could maybe walk down and then stumble home or easily get an Uber.
I have walked home.
Yeah,
from,
not a bad walk.
I love IPAs.
You're probably
dark.
A little bit easier to walk to than I would be.
Yeah,
because you get 12th Street gets a little bit sketchy sometimes.
there is a cut through at 17th that's buried deep in the homeless bushes over there.
Oh really?
Oh yeah.
I've heard of somebody falling down the hill up there.
I saw a little campground once, and I was like, I'm not going much further.
Well, that was the fastest half hour
that was.
In radio right
that
there.
Was. It was
Stockyards Brewing Company, 1600 Genesee Street,
thank you guys.
Kansas City, Missouri, 64102. Phone number 816-895-8880. Listen, there's nothing going on sports tomorrow, except for some basketball. But but Sunday, you want to hear some live music and drink some fantastic beer. I couldn't recommend Stock. It's one of my favorites in Kansas City, to be honest with you.
We got No Mountain String Band playing on Sunday from 3 to 6.
And as I say, I can find this beer not only at your brewery, I can drink your beer at other places.
That's right.
So I love that. Greg Bland, owner of Stockyards Brewing Company, kind enough to come in and join us on Two Guys in a Brewery. This will be podcast soon if you want to take a listen to it. We will throw it out there on social media. But, Greg, thanks for taking part of your Friday night and coming out here.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, man.
Coming up next,
Brett Veach, I only got the one thing he said. What's he say about Dee Ford, Tyreek Hill, Chris Jones? Who's coming back and who's not? We'll listen to Veach next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.